Thank you, Brother Tom. I was thinking years ago when the Spirit of God was pleased to reveal Christ to me, how we just kids back then, young kids, now we're just old kids learning, aren't we? How little we know. I heard Brother Henry say one time, he said, the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know. What a joy it is for me to be with you. I love your pastor. I love you. Been here many times. Always thankful. Always nervous. Brother Tom told me that's good. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Brother Tom told me that you guys are going through the book of Luke. I'd like to just look at the first four verses of the first chapter, Luke chapter 1. While you're turning there, I was sitting here thinking about the Lord's word to Isaiah in chapter 40. And this is what he said, comfort ye my people. After the Lord was risen from the dead, Peter, some of the other apostles, Peter said, I'm going back. I'm going back to fishing. The others said, we'll go with you. And but for the grace of God, he would have. But Almighty God, who has said concerning His elect, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And then on the seashore there, the Lord asked Peter. He said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times he asked him that. And this is what he told him. He said, you feed my sheep. This evening, this is my desire. That we might truly feast on Him. We must eat. I'm telling Brother Anthony a few moments ago, we've got to eat today. Yesterday's faith, like yesterday's air, is gone. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I want to hear. I want you to hear. I want us to worship tonight. I pray, God, have mercy upon us. Give us a time of worship. We don't realize what a blessing this is to be able to be here. We do somewhat. But oh, the blessing that we want to be here. That we're here and want to be here. In a few minutes, I'm going to read these first four verses. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to just make a few comments. I don't normally do this, but I want to do this tonight. I'm going to make a few comments about what is being said here, and then we're going to read it. There was a man named Luke. Luke was not one of the apostles. He was a believer. And Luke had a friend. And his friend's name was Theophilus. Theophilus means either one who loves God or one who is loved of God, which is that's what a believer is. You know, sir. And Theophilus had heard the gospel, and the Lord was pleased to save him. And Luke, who loved his friend Theophilus, he wanted to write down an account of the things that had been revealed and taught and he'd learned that he wanted to have a written account for Theophilus, that he might know the certainty, the Scripture says, of those things wherein he had been instructed, that he might have a written confirmation concerning what the Lord had taught him. You know, the older we get, we begin to forget. There's a lot of things we remember, but we begin to forget things. And it's just good to have some things written down. And so, Luke, he stated that he knew that there had been some accounts that written concerning the Lord, but he himself desired also to write an account of these things that the Spirit of God had been pleased to teach and to reveal concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we're going to just read these first four verses, and we're going to see the heart of this man Luke expressed. Love that he had for his friend. He loved his friend. He loved Theophilus. And he wanted Theophilus to have something. He said, I'm going to search these things out. And I want to write them down. And I'm going to go to the sources and check this out. And he said, I'm doing this for you. I thought, what love that this man had for his brother. Mm-hmm. And so here, let's read what it says. He says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. Now, this is what I can say with some certainty. I believe that there's some believers here. I believe that. And I believe that we believe those things that have been taught, we believe most surely some things that Luke is going to set forth in this book. Now, if we want to, I know you're going through the book. And if we want to find out those things in totality that the Spirit of God was pleased to teach Luke, that he most surely believed, we'd have to just go through the whole book. So tonight I'm going to just take a few, just for the sake of time. And we want to touch some things that the Spirit of God had been pleased to teach Luke, Theophilus, and I believe us, you know. But he says, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now Luke is saying, there's been some accounts that's been written. But he said, I want to write an account. Now, I realize that in Luke's heart, he had a desire to write. But why? Why did Luke have a desire to write? Well, you know the answer to this. The Spirit of God moved on this man's heart to write these things down. These are the inspired, infallible words of God. These words contain no error. And we know that. Now that's amazing to me. Amazing to me. Luke said, I know there's some other accounts that's been written concerning the Lord. He said, but obviously those things that had been written were not according to God's will that they be wholly writ. This Luke, he spoke, said, having taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed of us. Luke's desire, I know for a fact, was not of himself. God Almighty moved on Him to write these things. And I don't doubt for a second. When He said there's been some accounts written, I thought about this. There's probably a lot of things that were written in those accounts that were probably true. I don't doubt it a bit. But the Lord purposed that Luke would write these accounts. And there's some things found. Brother Tom and I was talking about this afternoon. There's many things. I'm going to bring out a few of them that's in the book of Luke that is, number one, not mentioned any other gospel, Matthew, Mark, or John. And then there's some things that's mentioned in those others, but Luke sets forth in more detail and more. We're going to look at one of those too. And it's just, there was a reason that the Spirit of God moved on this man to write these. And I know this. I know that probably some of those other things were true. But Luke was God's man. So he says in that first verse, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." Now I want us to just look. That's where I really want to focus. These things that are most surely believed. Now remember, in Luke's mind and heart, he's going to write these things down for the benefit of his friend. I'm going to write these things down. I'm doing this for you. But really, the Spirit of God was doing this for us. Teach us something. All right, let's look at a few of these things that are most surely believed among us. Here's the first thing that I find in the book of Luke, right after this introduction right here. Here's my first point. Here's something that we most surely believe. We believe that God's Word is faithful. Now, don't we believe that? God Almighty is faithful. His Word is truth. His Word. This is the first thing we find. Now, right out of the bat, right out of the chute, this is what he's going to write concerning, you know, God decreed through the prophet Malachi that he was going to send the Messiah, his beloved son in this world. And he was going to send a forerunner before the Lord Jesus Christ. There was going to be a forerunner. He was going to be John the Baptist. Message who's the message of John is going to be blessed by the Spirit of God to the calling out of God's elect. Now hold your place in Luke. Turn over to Malachi 4. Malachi 4. Now, I want to remind us of something. This book, Malachi 4, I'm going to read the last two verses of the fourth chapter. Last two verses. These last two verses right here is the last two verses from Almighty God to His people for 400 years. These are the last words of the prophet Malachi. Last words. Listen to this. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Now, here's what the Spirit of God declared to His people, to God's people, through this prophet. "I'm going to send the Messiah. And I'm going to send a forerunner concerning my son, the declaration of my son." Now, here's the first thing that Luke set forth in this book right here. That was the last word from the Lord. That's the last thing that he said. I will send. And here's Luke. Now, again, out of love for his friend, Theophilus, But how the Spirit of God moved on Luke to speak to God's people, all of God's people, concerning He who was coming. What happened? Luke started, moved upon by the Spirit of God, and set forth. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 through verse 17. Here's what Luke said. It was the last word from the Lord. And 400 years of silence. The last thing the Lord said. And what does the Spirit of God move upon Luke to do? I'm going to pick up right there. I'm going to start right where I told you. Right where I ended, that's where I'm picking up. And this is what the Spirit of God moved on Luke to write. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth." I thought about that, of all the depth of that, of what that last verse I just read meant. Many shall rejoice at his birth. I mean, I think how we rejoice today. It was John that made this announcement. Behold the Lamb of God. There he is right there. Many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall be turned to the Lord their God. Now listen, I love this last verse, because what he does, the Spirit of God moved on Luke to write an explanation of what Malachi had said. Here's what he said. "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You know what I know from that verse? Almighty God's got a people that He's chosen before the foundation of the world, that He everlastingly loved in Christ. Now let me ask you this. Do we not most surely believe these things?
Yeah.
We believe that. I believe that Almighty God, not by anything He saw in us. Some say, well, He looked down through. Yeah, He looked down. He sure did. He looked down. And you know what He saw? There was none good. How many?
None.
Not one. Not one. Not by works of righteousness that we've done, but according to His mercy. 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 Here now, Luke's going to encourage his friend. What? Well, he sure has encouraged me. God's Word's faithful. He's faithful. Faithful. I quoted this a minute ago. I think of this verse so many times. I will never leave you. I deserve to be left. The way I see myself, I deserve it. But according to His Word, according to His Word. Here's the second thing I know. And again, this was according to the Lord's purpose through Luke, to be encouragement to God's people. Second thing I know that we most surely believe concerning the Lord's promise is this. God Almighty was made flesh. Made flesh. Now, John the Apostle John was the one that the Spirit of God moved upon to write this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was God, was with God, or Word was God, made flesh. Now here's how the Spirit of God moved upon John to write, moved upon Luke to write what John said. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 1 to 11. Here's what John said. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 of John 1, and the Word was made flesh. And this is exactly what Luke said. Verse 1, chapter 2, it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. They were going to have a census. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor in Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto him, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. You know what Luke just said? The Word was made flesh. The greatest, no greater setting forth, explanation, declaration, revelation of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ than right here in Luke's account. He said, I felt in my heart, I wanted to write these things down, Theophilus. Write them down for you that you might be assured of these things that you've been taught. Concerning Him who everlastingly loved His people, it was written, Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. We must have a priest. And the priest must be taken from among men. That's what Hebrews 5:1 says. Taken from among men. Thanks be unto God, He was made flesh. We must have one made flesh. God must be made flesh for us, because only sacrifice that Almighty God is going to accept is going to be the sacrifice of His blood for the remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission. And concerning His blood, only His blood, when I see His blood, when I see the blood, whose blood? His blood. Sprinkle. You think about the sprinkling of the blood. I don't see it on you. But God does. I think, I'm so glad you wrote that down. I needed to hear that. Here He was, faithful God made flesh. What was He doing? He was earning the righteousness that would be imputed to everyone that believeth. Now let me tell you, that righteousness that He earned. He's a man. God, man. He made flesh. Brother Scott, you say, as much God is never man, as much man is never God. I can quote that, but I still can't enter into it. I know it's so. But He's God, man, mediator. As a man, He earned, obediently earned, a righteousness that God accepted. And there is, right now, a man sitting on the throne of God, because this man is God. And that righteousness, which is the righteousness of God, is imputed to everyone that believeth. You want some comfort? Luke's going to write this down. There is born unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. 12 years old. Mary and Joseph brought him into Jerusalem for the Passover. They're leaving 3 days later. They realize that he's not around. When they go back and they find him, they ask him, why are you not with us? Listen to his words. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? What was he doing? I do only always those things that please Him. This is the work. This is the Father's will. That of all that He's given me, again, God's got an elect. I should lose nothing. I should lose nothing. All power is given unto the Son, that He should give eternal life to as many as the Father has given me. I'm so glad He wrote that down. Here's the third thing I know. I know this, that Almighty God must save me. If anyone has any hope in this building tonight, here's the only hope you've got, that Almighty God has been pleased to save you apart from you. Here's the summation of God's grace to man. Salvation is of the Lord. Luke wrote an account, only found in the book of Luke. And it was about a Pharisee and a publican. I know this. I must have the Lord do something for me that I can't do for myself. Why? Because let me tell you what we are. We talk about total depravity. Here's what I know. And I'm thankful that the Spirit of God would move upon Luke to pen a parable that the Lord spoke about this. Turn with me there. Luke 18. Luke 18, it's about where you are, Brother Tom, I think. Somewhere in this area. Luke 18. 18, chapter 9. Chapter 18, verse 9. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Now, let me tell you just very, very quickly. Now, this is the history of me. I was in, like many, I'm sure, here. I was in false religion, trusting myself that I was righteous because I had done what everybody was telling me I was supposed to do. And not only was I just trusting in myself that I was righteous, I despised others. Yeah. With this attitude, this was me. I know. I can't look at this fellow right here and say, boy, I tell you what, I'd never find it. This is me. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican, this low-life tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But here is the indescribable mercy of God. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself. I'm just honest with you. That was me. Every man that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm so thankful. What comfort that Almighty God would move upon this man to write to a friend to express a parable that the Lord preached for our edification tonight. There's not a believer in this room tonight that will not say, that attitude right there of that Pharisee, that was me. That's me. Paul said, these things, you just read it. I love that passage too. All these things that I trusted in, I count them lost, dung, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. A believer will gladly admit, I know what I am by nature. Being born in Adam, I know what I am. Paul said, oh, wretched man, that I am right now. I realize, but for the grace of God, I'd have no hope. God Almighty would show me what I am. Here's fourthly, his thing I know. That Almighty God is long-suffering to His people. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. These are some things that Luke wrote over here, and you're going to write to Theophilus, and he said that even as they delivered them unto us, those things which are most surely believed among us. There's some us's here tonight that believe some things and believe the same things concerning salvation. Here's the blessed thought concerning God's long suffering. I think back. My mind goes back. I mean, I can go back sometimes years and years and years ago. Never had heard the gospel. And I think to myself, had I died in that state, but Almighty God, who was long-suffering. There was a parable that Luke recorded concerning the prodigal son. And he wanted that. It's in Luke 15. This boy got all of his. All that was coming to him. Give me everything that's coming to me. Took it, wasted it all in riotous living. And Scripture says there was a day in which he came to himself. This is what I know. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's John 6:37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. This young man took that inheritance coming to him. He wasted it. He was living and just, you know, feeding hogs and everything. But you know who that boy was? That was his daddy's boy. That was still his daddy's boy. Yeah, but he's over there. He done left. He deserved to be kicked out. He deserved to be, okay. I'll go along with you. Maybe he did deserve it. I know what that feels like. There was a day my dad told me, you're done. I was out. Yeah. And you know what? I deserved it. I deserved it. I was going to show him, though, my dad. But you know what? It wasn't many, many weeks later. But I came to myself, you know, humanly speaking. This boy came to himself. What happens when Almighty God is pleased to cross the path of one of His own? He does like whenever He came up to the table there where Matthew was sitting. What did He say? Follow me. Matthew got up. What happened? With that word came power. He told Thomas. Whenever Thomas had said, unless I see put my finger in the prints, my hand in his side, I won't believe. 8 days later, he met with him again. Thomas was there. And the Lord said to Thomas, put your hand right here. Feel this. Put your hand in my side. And listen to this word. And be not faithless. That wasn't a suggestion. That was a command. And with it came power. Be not faithless. Believe. And he believed. This boy, this prodigal son, came to himself like every one of God's elect do. They will. They shall. They shall come to me. Is there a possibility that there's one of God's elect that's not going to come? Not a possibility. All that the Father gave me shall come to me. And Luke moved. The Lord moved on Luke to write that parable down about that prodigal. He wrote it just like this. He came to himself. Came to himself. I'm going to go back to my daddy. I've sinned against heaven. I've done it in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. You put some shoes on this boy. You put a ring on this boy. You put a robe on this boy. It's my son. My son. And I think, I'm so glad you wrote that. I'm so glad the Spirit of God moved on him to write that parable down. That's such a... I love that parable. You know, I know a little bit about that. I just, you know... Here's the fifth thing I know. That we most surely believe. As long as there's breath within a sinner, the Lord is able, according to His good will and purpose, the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Matthew and Mark both recorded that there were two thieves crucified beside the Lord. They both made mention that they were. Turn with me to Luke 23. Luke 23. There was mention that there was two thieves there. But the Spirit of God moved upon Luke to pin the very heart of that repentant thief's plea for mercy and confession. He was this one right here was like Zacchaeus. This is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. Who was it? Zacchaeus was one everlasting. He was a spiritual son of Abraham. This thief right here was too. And he had spent his life like that boy, that prodigal son in riotous living. And now he's coming to the end of his life. He doesn't have long to live. He's gone. He's out of here. He's getting ready to enter eternity. And this one account says that at one time they were both railing on the Lord. Both of them. Both thieves. But in a moment, according to God's will and God's purpose, this thief right here, by the grace of God and the indescribable power and mercy, the Holy Spirit caused him to come to himself. Gave him a new heart. Gave him a new mind. bursting from above. Everybody standing around looking at him didn't see 1 ounce of difference. Just nothing there but a stinking thief hanging on a cross, getting just exactly what he deserved. And something happened inside. And the moment it happened, this is what was recorded by Luke. Verse 39, Luke 23:39. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Here was the holy, harmless Lamb of God made sin for this thief. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." You know what I know that we all believe right here? God's going to have His people. But let me tell you what you also believe, you that know Him. The moment you take your last breath, you know where we're going to be? In paradise with Him. What's it going to be like? I don't know, but I know this. He's going to be there. I know that. Oh, what a blessed account that we received through Luke. The Spirit of God moved upon that man to write down some things that he was just going to write to be an encouragement to a friend. A friend that had heard the gospel, but a friend like us that needed to hear it again and again and again. Luke, I'll read that first 4 verses and we'll close with this. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." You know what a believer, after he hears the gospel, Brother Henry said this, it's not original with me. Many times, someone may ask you at work or someplace, they may ask you, "So what do you believe?" And here's what you'll normally do. You'll try to think of all the messages that you've heard and you'll think, "Well, okay, we believe in sovereignty. We believe in the grace of God. And you're going to stammer and stutter and you're going to try." But when someone that has sent of God sets down and methodically, in order, sets forth some things that God Almighty has said, you'll say, "That's what I believe right there. I believe that. That's what I believe. These things that we most certainly believe." I pray that the Lord bless these words to our heart, that we might feast upon Him who is the bread of heaven, the fountain of life, the water of life, and that the Spirit of God might truly teach us afresh. I was thinking about Brother Tom was talking about when I first began to try to express these things that the Lord had taught me, how I think back on them like a little old baby. I know, stammering around. But that's what I'm still doing. Still stammering. May God bless our hearts this night for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Tom, just touch it. Stop.